let's also talk about timing, given that, you know, we are going through turbulent times. And there might be some stakeholders who, if they see a rebrand, assume that it costs loads of money.
Yes, yeah.
And a new brand interpretation. And from the company's marketing department point of view, establishing and strengthening the brand may be a very good thing to do. But other people might say, well, why are you spending all this money in this time? So my question, next question, is about timing. And are there good times to do it? Or should you just, you know, if you're not expressing it strongly enough, should you just go ahead and do it no matter what? And should you temper your approach, do you think, in light of current circumstances?
Yes. I mean, I think it's a very good question. I think what's interesting, actually, in the last year is the number of organisations that have looked at their branding has got up exponentially. I mean, organisations did just, and I'm talking about UK and wider Europe, organisations did stop doing this in the during the credit crunch for the first sort of couple of years. But even though, you know, the economic and financial news is not great just now, firms have been investing a lot in the last year. And in fact, the sort of the branding business has been very busy. I think the reason for that is that A, there's a sort of a backup, if you like, a backlog of organisations wanting to look at their brand. But also, firms have realised that it's also a period of change, and the time to look at your brand is when your market is changing dramatically, when the organisation is changing dramatically, or in particular, when your brand is out of sync with the business strategy and out of sync with consumers. And it can get to the point where if your brand expression and your brand is out of sync with any one of those, is actually doing you damage online, because it's saying one thing and that's not reflecting the reality of the organisation. And why would any organisation want to do that? So I would counsel against sort of spurious image making, or let's say superficial makeovers of websites or tinkering. But I think when an organisation has a proper strategic change, you know, British Airways would be a good example of an organisation that's had a tough 3 or 4 years. It has decided to, clearly it's now part of AHG, it's decided to invest and differentiate itself from some of the budget airlines. To fly to serve is all about that, the customer service, the commitment to flying. There's some lovely sort of case studies of things they've done about looking after dangerous chemicals and animals and when they're flying and this sort of thing. So it's all around the added value of British Airways. For the website not to reflect that would be a mistake and could actually sort of cost money, because you would continue to perceive them as the organisation they were 3 or 4 years ago. Of course, To Fly to Serve has also got a big staff message, because BA has had all these issues with its employees over the last 3 or 4 years. So there's also a staff pride issue. So it makes absolute sense, and I would urge BA to go further for the website to reflect to that. Do you take a slightly different approach because there's a downturn? Only insofar as your business, you take a different approach to your business. I mean, the purpose of brand is to reflect the business strategy. So if you are, if you've got an aggressive growth strategy, even in a downturn, then you know, the brand must reflect that. I don't think there's customers, they don't want to see money wasted, but they also want their brands to be confident and have a good sense of self.
And of course, you may have a different brand perception in different geographies. So UK and Europe, we may be familiar with the major brands that we know and love, and yet if they're trying to establish themselves in Asia, developing markets and so on, then there's a stronger case for establishing or making more of the brand, particularly in the primary shop window, which is now the corporate website.
Absolutely, and I think the a lot of the companies we've mentioned, you know, their growth has come from the BRIC countries and other emerging and developing markets, and particularly Asia. And as we know, websites, there's no boundaries to the accessing of websites. So, yes, I think sort of just calibrating your website to one particular market could be a big mistake. I was looking at Jaguar's website, which I think is pretty good. I mean, the product is very much the hero, just like Apple, the product is very much the hero. I think, you know, again, I think with video, you could probably get more of the product portfolio over. But clearly, someone like Jaguar, big market in the States, big market in the Middle East, big market in Asia. That's really where this website is pointed, if you will.
And it may be that some of those areas, even America, don't have that great broadband.
Very true.
So,
yes.
And so we had one. One of our US reviewers marked a FTSE 100 site very lowly, and they then came back and asked us about it. And in fact, the root cause of the bad experience was about speed. They put some flash elements on the site, and the speed of download was bad and poor, and so the user experience was terrible.
Yes.
But of course, they didn't realise that.
No.
Because they're sitting in the UK, in London, a nice bit of broadband, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's very easy to just go ahead and assume everything's fine from that point of view. And if you get the user experience wrong, or if design trumps usability,
absolutely, yes,
then you really come a cropper.
Yeah.
And you may not realise it because you may be patting yourself on the back for all your marvellously designed site, when actually your users are not having that great a time.
But